Yeah, well, this morning, we're going to get into the Word, so let's have a quick prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your presence this morning. We just thank you for your wonderful Spirit, your joyful Spirit that is just so prevalent here this morning. We just thank you, Lord, that we've just got ears to hear the Word this morning and just to speak to us and to open our hearts to just to learn more about you in your name. Amen. Alrighty, so untangle the little book here. That's a pretty cool book, eh? I reckon it's really cool anyway. I don't know if you can see it from back over there at home, but it's a nice book. Anyway, let's go from what I've got written here, which is I want to talk to you today about God in your everyday. So God in our everyday, what does it look like? What does it sound like? Because I know that sometimes I always feel that if I haven't read the Word in the morning or if I haven't sat down and given at least 5 minutes to the Lord, that he's not in my everyday. You know what I mean? Like I haven't acknowledged him to come and be part of it. And you can have this little bit of a battle of the works mentality. Who knows what the works mentality means? Does anyone know? Like, so works mentality means that you have to do something in order to get something from the Lord. And that's not what the Bible teaches. But for some reason, over the years of being part of churches, we've always developed this works mentality. And it's been part of the early church, because when the early church was formed, the one thing the Lord said that Paul was preaching about all the time, which was you don't have to be circumcised to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And then the Jews were coming in and they were saying, no, you can have all what Jesus wants, but you have to be circumcised. And all the Greeks were like, this is kind of unfair, because you guys had it at 8 days of age and we kind of have to be circumcised a lot later. It's a bit unfair, don't you think? And they're like, well, this is the rules, you know, you've got to abide by the rules. And where there's one rule, there comes another one, another one, another one. And so as time goes on, there was going to be more and more rules. So Paul would have stopped it and said, no, you don't have to be circumcised. And the example he brought was, he goes, did God make Abraham righteous after he was circumcised? Did he call him after he was circumcised? No, he called him before he was circumcised. And then he made him circumcised at age 99. That would have been rough. So, yeah, I know, 99, but it didn't kill him because he lived to 175, so that's all good. So, Colossians 3:10, let's turn there this morning, Colossians 3:10. Last night, we were feeding the boys, and that's always fun, because there's always chit-chatter and all that going on, and it's a really good family morning time. We're feeding the boys. And then I was doing something. I went to the front room to get something. I think it was to shut the curtains or something like that. And I saw my Bible sitting there, and I was like, I'll get to that in a minute, you know, to prepare and stuff like that and to get into it. And the Lord says, Colossians 3:10. So I thought, I'll grab it now and I'll look it up. So I looked it up, and it says this: put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I really like the way that's written. Become like Him. Let's read it again. What does it say? Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. And it had like a little paraphrase thing to go to 1 Corinthians 10:31, and I've got to 33. So let's go. I'll go to 1:30. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. 1 Corinthians 10:31 to 33, and it says this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. I just love his confidence in who he is. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And quite often we go, well, that's a bit bold, isn't it? That's not very humble to call yourself just like Christ. Imitate me. If you don't know what Christ looks like, you can just copy me because I'm pretty much like him. And he was like, that's the confidence he had, because Paul knew. And if you read him through scripture of all Paul's letters, I feel like he has the same thing he repeats over and over and over. It's the same thing. It's always the same thing. And it's always about renewing your mind. It's always about having that new character, that new relationship, that new creation. It's all about being redeemed, sanctified, set free. No longer bound, no shame, no guilt, and nothing. It's all said for Romans, for Galatians, for Ephesians. It says for all these letters. I don't know about all of them. I haven't actually researched all of them. I know it says for a while. Because everyone, I just flick through a page and I'm like, there it is again. There's redeemed, there's sanctified, there's set free, there's no longer shame. And it just kept saying, I was like, Paul just had the same message over and over and over, didn't he? I mean, there's a couple of little side things he does here and there, but the general consensus of his message is simple, is that you're safe, set free to be part of the kingdom. That you're no longer bound by what you see or what you feel or what you hear or what's around you. You're no longer part, that's no longer part of you anymore because you're part of the kingdom. And I found that finding your purpose hidden in God is one of the best things you can find. One thing most people desire and need, I always find, is peace. You find that, like, what's the one thing you most people chase after is peace. You know, they take drugs to get away from it all, take alcohol to get away from it all, and they just want a sense of purpose. See, people, like, when they get families, they dig right into their families. They live for their little kids, they live for their wives and husbands, they live for their families, you know, like the mafia, even like that, they just go right down deep into the, you know, it's all about family, and don't knock my family, I'll knock you, and, you know, everything's about purpose. Everyone's got a certain purpose, and everyone's trying to achieve that. And it's all driven down by that's what God is planting in your hearts. Years ago, I used to suffer from anxiety really bad. Like, it was crippling. And I don't know if anybody else suffers from anxiety or has suffered from anxiety. It's a horrible thing. It's basically faith in the wrong God and faith in the wrong thing. And sometimes when you're in that situation, you don't know how to get out of it because the first thing you keep thinking about is the problem. And you don't think about the solution. And you just keep on meditating on the very thing that is causing you to be anxious. So it's like a constant circle. And you're moving along in life, but you're just constantly thinking back. And, oh no, and all this, and all these problems. And then as life goes on, you look back. If you look back about the things you're anxious about, how much has that actually come to pass in your life? Like, we always think, I wonder what they're saying about me. Probably not much, mate. I'll be honest with you. You're really not that special. Like, in other people's lives, they're probably not talking about you. Sorry, Marcus, they're probably not even talking about you. I'll tell you who's talking about you, though. Jesus, he's talking about you. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. He knows where you belong. So what you need is, we'll just use anxiety as a thing because I've dealt with it. So I always like to preach from a position where I'm actually defeated something or come at least experienced something of that nature, because it's hard to sort of see a larger person tell me how to get fit. You know, like, you need to run more, you need to do weights, and they can't even bench press 50 kilos, or they're, you know, sitting at 120 kilos or something like that, trying to tell you to get down to 70 odd. Like, isn't it a bit controversial with somebody that's larger to tell you how to get fitter? And you're like, it's really hard to sort of take notes from you, mate, because you're not living what you preach. And that's exactly what I mean, is when you've got to be able to live what you preach. You've got to be able to preach from a position that you've come from, rather than, like, I could preach here and say, like, oh, I believe this and do this and do this, and if I've never done it, then how can I know it works? I know it says it here, it does, in the Word, but how can I tell you as an honest person to go, I'm positive it works for you, I'm sure of it. I haven't actually seen it myself, but the Lord says it works, I'm not saying we can't preach from, tell people how to be saved and all this, like, you can't preach about things you've never experienced, because otherwise we'd never preach anything. But what I'm trying to say is, you can't emphasize your point as much. And so what you need is not prayer. I found out this, you don't need prayer to get rid of anxiety. You don't need anything come off you. You don't need someone to come over you and go, just to shabakulababashiki, you'll just be set free in Jesus' name, a prophetic word to announce it. You don't need all that. You don't need the fireworks. You don't even need a flaming cloud coming down from the Lord where it's all full of fire. You don't need all that. You just need a sword. Now, I do know of one that in Hebrews it says there's one that's sharper than any two-edged sword on the planet that cuts through bone and marrow. Now, that must be one heck of a sword. In Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that's one version, right? It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But what does that mean? Does that mean we just read it? Does that mean we speak it? Does that mean we walk it? What does that mean? Like, yeah, take the word. Word, what does that mean? Like, explain more. And the Bible sometimes leaves us with these questions. And I think it's in our best interest to seek them out, what they mean. Okay, so I said, well, what does it mean to have the word, which is the word of God? Like, okay, it's a sword that's sharp, a two-edged word, any two-edged sword. It's this thing here. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. I've read it, still suffering from anxiety. And then I looked into the word. What does it mean in the Greek? And the word where it says the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the word of God is actually the word rhema. And rhema means to speak. It means to, the translation means utterance or things said. So you could say the translation actually says this: take the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. Isn't that a difference between just word of God and spoken word of God? There was a preacher that one time I went to this thing, and it was a few years ago when I was suffering through this anxiety, and he said, he was saying to the group of us there, he said, like, when the devil comes at him, he just starts speaking the word at the situation. And I was like, yeah, I've heard that before, that's all good, no worries. But I don't think I've ever really done that up until that point. And so he was saying, like, it's like a boxing match. When the devil comes to, you know, to spar at you or take a knock at you, and you just say, greater is he than he that's in this world. And the devil just block punched right there. And you've got to speak it out in faith. And so what I found this preacher was saying, he was saying that, what else you got, devil? I've got this. What else you got? I've got a sharper sword than yours that can cut through any bone and marrow. And as I was at home there and I was pacing the floor and I remember it clear as day. I was like, I was about to go to work, and it was about 10 or 15 minutes before work, and I'm walking and I'm panting. Like, I haven't been for a run. I'm just like, whew, like my heart is that bound by this anxiety. And I'm just like struggling to catch my breath. This is really tough. Like, whatever I was going through, it was actually a really tough moment. And I remember it come to me what this preacher had said. So I said, okay, Lord, let's just preach something on this. Let's try it. What's the worst that can happen? So I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. It's the one, John 4:4. And then I said, and if my God is for me, then who can be against me? Right? And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so I just kept saying them, kept speaking them until my heart believed it. And then as time went on, like, as it was about 10, 15 minutes before work, and by the time I got to work, I'd stop panting, I'd stop stressing. It had subsided. The effects of the anxiety had been just, the whole connection with anxiety in me had seemed to be broken. It seemed like the sword had split that bone and marrow that anxiety had tried to keep on me, and it was starting to move, and I was like, it's working. It's actually working. This word is living. I can see it. I've heard it so many times that this is the living word of God. But when you actually see it for yourself, it changes your world. It changes your world. One time I remember reading the whole of Acts. I've read it a few times, but in one sitting, Acts 1 all the way up to the finish. And I was by the end of it, I felt powerful. I felt like if I stuck my hand out, I might knock a chair over. Like, I really felt the power. I could feel like this, my hands were warm. I could feel the shapes on me. I could feel the presence. And I was like, this word is living. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but the Lord would do that for you. He was showing me how living this word is. And so as I kept saying, I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And as I kept speaking it, it's just the anxiety was just, I could feel it just releasing. It was an amazing feeling, especially when you're just so bound up. Like, it was nearly to the point I was like going, oh, I don't know if I can go to work. Like, it's just getting really bad. Like, I'm really getting crippled over here. And it was all about just nonsense stuff. Stuff that hasn't even happened. And I just found myself, I'm like, I wonder how many other people are suffering through this. I wonder how many people, because we always talk about in society nowadays, we've got a big identity issue, as you know, because people can identify as whatever. But the main thing I find is people just are lacking that love connection. See, when you spend time with the Lord, you find out who you are. Your purpose is hidden in Him. It's hidden in Him for a purpose. Your purpose is hidden in Him. It's hidden in Him for a purpose. Why is it hidden? Why can't it just be seen? Because if all things were just that easy, you just wouldn't. You wouldn't take it so heavily, I guess. If you were able to see your giftings, if you were able to see your life purpose, you probably wouldn't take it with both hands. You'd probably be like, oh, that's okay. It's like when someone, you know, when you prophesy over someone, you ever prophesied over someone who's not as humble as you thought they might be? When you prophesy over someone or when you speak to someone, they go, yeah, I kind of knew that. You know what I mean? Like those Bible scholars that just know a lot. When you say a word to them, they go, yeah, I've heard that one a few times. I already know that. Can we skip to the end? You know, like, tell me something I don't know. And you know, I just find that I've seen it. I've been in church all my life. My mum's been a pastor for many years. So I've preached a lot of times behind a pulpit. I've preached in front of crowds. I've preached in front of small amount numbers. I've worship led in front of many situations. So I've seen a lot of things over the time of my short-lived life at 35. But I've seen enough to sort of go, huh, that's interesting. Why do people do that? Why do people shut themselves off from the Word of God for someone that's younger or older or doesn't look like, you know, like when you see someone, if a young boy would come up to you or a young girl and they would to give you a word of the Lord, how would you receive it? Would you go like, I don't know if that's the Lord, or would you be like, open your hands out and receive it? And it's all about humility. So when you speak the word of God over yourself, he will answer it. In Daniel 10, he says this. He says, Daniel, from the first day that you said your prayer, I heard it. From the very first day. Now, we have to tackle powers and principalities. And this is the thing that I want to get to is, in your life, it is not the people that are attacking you that is where its source is coming from. That's all you see, and it is hard to look past. But the actual power that's coming from is from the enemy. The powers and principalities of this world are coming against you. All that anxiety, all that thoughts wasn't against from someone to me. It was against from the enemy to me. And he was trying to knock me down. He was trying to take me out. He was trying to render me useless in the kingdom for at least one more day. He thought if I could just knock him down one day, that'll take him out. Because, I don't know if you know this, but you're quite a powerful person. Because it's not what's in you, not what you are. Yeah, you're okay. You're a nice fellow, Marcus, but what's in you, man, is more powerful than anything that's been in this world. Amen. What's in you can take out a whole army, a whole legion of enemy soldiers. Whole legion, just you on your own. You don't even need anyone because you've got God in you. Amen. So if you're suffering for yourself, all you have to do is just speak to it. You don't need prayer. You don't need anyone to help you. These things are good and healthy. I'm not saying isolate yourself. All I'm saying is don't wait for that to happen. Speak this word over your life. Change your life through God. Bring that connection back to him and stop letting people dictate what happens to you. Stop letting things that happen to you and constant change in your life be, well, I haven't actually been to church to get prayer, or I haven't actually seen this person to get a prophetic word. I need a prophetic word to encourage me. No, you just need the Lord. Yeah. See, David, in 2 Samuel, I think. there's a part where he comes back from attacking a village and stuff, and all these 600 men come back, and all their wives and children and possessions are taken. Do you remember this story? Everything's taken from them as they were out doing what David had said. So what happens? They come back, and all their families are gone, and who to blame? Well, the guy that sent you. David. Now, David lost everything too, just remember. He lost all his family, all his possessions. And he's probably wondering, did I do the right thing? Should I stay back and guard the family? And we find that in David, his journey was very up and down a lot of times because he's just like us, he's human. He goes through emotions too. But he knew something different. See, all these people were persecuting him. They were going to stone him and kill him. They were about to kill him. And David went away into a quiet place. And it said, which I just find the most poignant point in Scripture sometimes, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what did he do? He went behind this rock, found a rock, whatever, he could escape from all these people. He took his guitar with him, because he used to play guitar. It says he played a string instrument, right? Guitar, pulls it out, tunes it up. And he starts just sing whatever he wanted to sing.
Yes, Lord, you're with me. Oh, this is tough. Lord, I need you.
And he just starts singing. And as time went on, he got more and more encouraged. And he started off with a simple, deep breathing to, Lord, I need you. And he just started praising. I mean, he was singing the house down. He's like, all grace be to you, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Sanctifier. And he starts singing so much so that all his crew can hear him. And then he comes out bold. Because one thing that in the Acts we find that quite often they're like, when they get sent to prison, they come out of prison, what they ask for? More boldness. To do exactly what they're doing. Give me more boldness, Lord. So he comes out with boldness, because that's the presence of the Holy Spirit brings that. Comes out with boldness. And he says, we're going to get back everything that they took. You mark my words, as I stand here today, as the Lord liveth, he said that a lot, didn't he? As the Lord liveth, we will get back everything that you lost. And I'll make sure to personally. And so everyone starts cheering. And they're like, let's go get them. And they got back everything they lost. Everything that was taken has been found. And what difference is that in our lives? Well, how much are you encouraging yourself in the Lord? This is pre-Jesus. You're post-Jesus. You're after Jesus. You've got Jesus in you. He didn't have Jesus in him. How much more powerful are your words when they're spoken from the essence of your being, when they're anointed? This is the spoken word of God, the holy canon. It's exactly what the Lord wanted to speak. When you speak the word, so this is the weird thing about, not weird thing, it's really good, but it's just funny because in life, what does God do from the very start? It says, then God said, let there be light. Then God said, if everything is said, you know, he instructs his people by how? Prophetic people, judges, by what? By speaking. Everything is spoken. You know, everything is like, you know, bring the people to, you know, get the water out of the rock. And what does he do? He taps the rock. He says, let the water come out. He speaks. Everything is spoken in life. Why do we think that it's not spoken? See, I think one thing anxiety does is shut you up. Yeah. It stops you from talking. It does. It's crippling. Like, because you become internally focused instead of externally processing. It's time to external process, guys. It's time to get that word of God and speak it out. Stop internally processing things. Stop going, oh, I'm such a bad Christian. I did this morning, or I did that last week, or I thought this week, and I'm just not worthy. Those are rubbish words that are not for you. You know, I need more self-control. I need more desire for you, Lord. I need less stress in my life. Speak it out. It's that simple. I don't know how I didn't see this so many years ago. All it is speaking it out. If you want change, speak to the storm. You speak to the powers and principalities of this world, and you remind them who you belong to. You remind them of who you belong to. Who do you belong to? The very person that died on the cross for you. The person that created paper. The person that created the Niagara Falls. The person that created people to engineer such things like ships and planes and chairs, musical instruments. You know, we've seen the likes of Mozart, Beethoven produces wonderful music. That's not them. That's God giving them that wonderful gift. That's all God. We just see it as them. And a lot of people go, oh, Beethoven was such a wonderful composer. And yes, he was, because he accessed his gifting. He accessed something that the Lord had given him. What if you access what the Lord's given you, your gift, and apply it to the kingdom? You're going to see it in downfall. Like if Beethoven, I always think that if Beethoven had just applied himself to be producing music for the Lord, how far would he have gotten? Much more further than he got already. I mean, he was a very famous composer, as we know. But imagine if he had composed something for the Lord. Could you imagine the sound of that thing? Oh, just be music to your ears. Like, I know that's just, I can't even give words to that. It'd just be a wonderful, wonderful fragrance to the Lord. So Paul says it constantly in his writings. We are free. We're a new creation. We're sanctified, redeemed, no longer bound or loved.
He says that, I know that I've read it in these ones, Romans, Corinthians, Colossians, Hebrews, Galatians, Ephesians. They're the ones that I have seen and written. I'm sure it's written more than. So let's get out of the shame and the guilt in the past. Let's step forward into more, even more and greater. So this is the thing we've been saying lately. It's like, you want even more and greater. You want the best for your life. You want to see God move in your life. If you're feeling a bit of you'll come to a standstill. You come to a point where, I don't know, where you just feel like things just aren't happening. They're just not working. Everything you put your finger to or your hand to is just not moving. Why is that? Maybe you're trying it in your own strength. Maybe you're trying it in what you can do. Have you ever tried? The other day, I just want to share the story. So the other day, I was doing this job and I was told to make sure the water's turned off before I left. And I was about to leave and I forgot about the water. And then I was about to hop in my ute and then the Lord goes, the water. And I went, oh, thank you, Lord. The water. Something so simple. But it would have caused me anxiety and stress if I remembered. I would have had to drive back to, and I don't know why we had to turn the water off. It was just something I was told to do, so I just did it. But there's these things in our daily life. That's what I'm going to get to. There's things in our daily life that God just wants to do for you. He wants to speak to you. On the simple little things. God in your everyday, what does it look like? Does it look like simple things like turn the water off? Does it look like simple things like a little word that you can share with someone to encourage them? So you don't have to go all out and start doing tongues over people and laying hands on them and seeing them slay the spirit. You don't need the simple things. You just need to speak something small. Because the Lord says it's as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. So what if you speak something so small, so encouraging? See, what if the Lord's speaking to you about someone and they're dealing with anxiety, and then they're seeing themselves as very low. They're struggling with self. They're struggling with who they are. That they're useless. They're worthless. And then you come along and you just was like a bit like Joseph in the prison and go, "Hey guys, what's going on? You know, you're everything around you is chaotic, but you're standing at peace." And then you say to this person, "You know, I missed you. Where have you been the last 2 days? Hope it was something good. He's just such an amazing person to be around." You ever said that to someone that's not Christian? They have the weirdest reactions sometimes. They sort of take, they're kind of like, "Oh yeah, anyway, let's keep moving over here." They don't know how to deal with it's sort of a form of affection. It's a form of, they're feeling the love of the Lord, but they don't know what to do with it. So the only way they're going to experience it is if you just say it to them. Just speak encouragement. It can be something simple like, "You're just an amazing person. You know, I really love the way you can whistle so clearly." Something so simple.
Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing a story at this guy at this funeral that these people were at, and they asked for someone to do, like, "Does anyone else want to do, like, eulogy or have them speak over the deceased?" And he was not well-liked man in the community. Most people were there just sort of seeing there to make sure he wasn't alive, if you know what I mean. I just want to see him. Make sure he goes in there, yeah, see him down there. I don't want him to come back up. That's the kind of guy this person was. And then there's a lot of people there to see this, and he hurt a lot of people in his life. And of course, the room was silent. Nobody wanted to say any nice words over this person. And this one bloke hopped up. He was known in the community to be a bit of a Barnabas, a bit of an encourager. He hops up and he goes, "You know, that guy could really whistle. I've never heard anyone whistle like him. I've never seen anyone just be able to play a tune with their lips like he was." And people were like, "You know what? Yeah, he could do that." Yeah, and then it stopped people from thinking the negative to thinking, what else was good about him? Yeah. And then all of a sudden there was a lineup. "You know what? I really liked the way that he did smile occasionally. When he did smile, it felt like, you know, he changed something." And then soon enough, people were just lining up to say something nice about this man that was horrible in the community. And so what I mean is, what I'm trying to get into with that story is, all it takes is a little spark in someone's soul. Maybe that you need to stop that anxiety. They need to hear the word of God come out of you. Because whatever you say is anointed, right? It says Paul says in his things, he says, get away from lying, deceit, and malice, and filthy language, and cussing, and cursing, and get away from all that. Why do you get away from all that? Because your tongue is a weapon. It's a rudder of a ship. It steers things where you want them to go. And if you're in, God's in you, then whatever you say is anointing, right? So if you speak something anointing over someone, what's that going to do? That's going to split that marrow in half. That's going to split that, whatever that anxiety is, or whatever that problem is in their life, it's going to help them focus on something that's far more deeper, far more prevalent, far more longer lasting than any disease the enemy can bring upon them. Sometimes people just need something else to think about. And maybe that little encouraging word is just for you to bring something else for them to think about. You know, something so simple can change someone's life. You know, I think the man on the cross, the thief on the cross that gave his heart to the Lord, you know, he's probably a horrible man because he wouldn't have been there otherwise. And the very last thing he said is, "Lord, remember me when you go in paradise." And he said, and then the Lord said to him, "Yeah, you'll be with me in paradise the next day. You're all good." And something so simple just changed that man's heart. From stress and worry to like, obviously I've got this pain to deal with, but this is the end for me. I'm about to go in paradise. And sometimes people need a taste of that paradise that's in you. You know, Paul says it there that don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what's best for me. I do what's best for others so that many may be saved. He says, I don't do what's best for me. Sometimes we've got to look past you. There's a story, as you know, about Timothy. I'll finish with this. I always found this an intriguing story. Timothy's about my age at this time, that Paul calls him to come with him to go on a missions trip. And he says, he pulls out a map. He says to Tim, "We're going to go up here, mate. We're going to go down here, and we'll probably end up just circling around a little bit over here, and then we'll come back to where we're at, okay?" And Tim's like, "Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm so with you, Paul. This is really good." And then all the disciples are like, "Yeah, this is a really good thing. We're sending you out, Tim. This is really good." Paul's like, "I really need to meet. Just one detail. Before we get to any of this, I just need you to be circumcised." And Tim goes, "Yeah, that's fine. Circumcised. Yeah, it's just a formality thing. It's nothing really that you need to worry about. It's just something that we need to do." Just one small thing, Paul. Yeah, just a small one. You know when you said about it's no longer the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart? Yeah, well, I've kind of been circumcised already, haven't I? Yeah, we kind of need the flesh side of it done. But isn't that kind of against scripture, Paul? Like, it's, you know, you've said this, and I've done that. I've been saved, set free. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just letting you know that I'm just kind of in disagreement to you that I don't think I need to be circumcised. And then Paul goes, "Yeah, I know, but because you're a Greek and everyone knows that your dad's a Greek, we know that you're not. And in order for people to hear you, like all the Jews, they're not even going to hear you. They're not saved yet. So in order for them to even hear your words, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit for us." And Tim's like, "Okay, well, I sort of see, John, you listen to this? Like, what do you think?" John goes, "Oh, look, mate, all I know is I beat Peter to the cave. That's all I really know about. Like, if there's anyone that can run, it's me. I'm the most beloved. I kind of have my hand on Jesus' chest. There's no really way around this, mate. You're on your own." "Well, Pete, what do you reckon, mate? Like, you know, like, do you think?" He goes, "Well, look, mate, I don't know, but I might have lost the race, but I was the only one that stepped out of the boat. Hey, John, I was the only one that stepped out of the boat. Well, Thomas, you don't think I actually need to do this? Like, they'll still listen to me, won't they?" "Yeah, I doubt it, mate. I doubt it." "Well, so what should I do?" And they're just like, "Just get it done, mate. Get it done, and it'll be done. Look, Abraham did it. He's 99 years of age." "Yeah, well, that's right. Well, you live for another 76 years, mate. It's fine. You'll be fine." "So what, you're rounding my life off to 100 now, are you guys?" No, Tim. It's just a formality, mate. Just enjoy the process. It's all about sacrificing." And so Tim knew something that was different. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing a lot of the word there, but what I wanted to get at was sometimes you've got to sacrifice something that you feel is so attached to you. in order to get the blessing. What are you holding on to this morning that's stopping you getting your blessing? What am I saying, that you won't get a blessing if you don't remove something? No, I'm not saying you won't be blessed. I'm just saying you won't be as blessed. Because the Lord requires a sacrifice. Our daily life is a sacrifice. When we come together, it's a sacrifice of praise. Because what are we doing? We're sacrificing our time. We're sacrificing who we are as people to give praise to Him and become part of each other, you know, as a congregation. Every day, we know what's right and what's wrong because the Lord's written our hearts right. So every day, we're letting go of things and we're picking up new things of this new nature. And the thing with this new nature is that you don't need this old stuff in your life. It's going to hold you back. See, there's a scripture that says, I believe it's Paul that writes it, it says, run your race. Get rid of everything that holds you back, sexual immorality, drunkenness, everything that holds you back. Why? Because if He wants you to have the best thing, He's talking about end times, He's talking about you having your blessing in heaven, the thing that's going to reward you, the Lord, when He comes to reward you at your end of time, what's He going to say? He's going to say, like, you probably could have had a lot more if you just had to let go of this little bit of thing that was holding you back. If you want even more and greater, it's going to cost you. It is. There's a poem that I remember reading years ago, and it says, there's this one line in it, or two lines in it, that says, I crossed the bridge and I paid no toll, but to cross back over will cost me my soul. And I always think that's written by a Christian author, and it's amazing the way that's written, because when you cross over to sanctification to the Lord, that to cross back, it will cost you your soul, it will cost you more. So the Lord this morning is just allowing us to remove at least one thing this morning. Adrian, do you want to come up? We'll play your song in a minute, but we'll just start with just a little strumming and plucking. I just want to pray over us, a simple prayer, but I just want us to have a moment just for the Lord to reveal something in you that you need to remove in order to see the blessing of His presence, of His power, of that stuff that just doesn't need to be part of your life anymore. And just things that just like are just part of you that don't need to be part of you anymore. So it's Timothy willingly, it doesn't say anything about him arguing around the disciples, I was only joking with that, but he willingly had been was circumcised so he could preach to the non-saved, the Jews. He did what was necessary so others could be saved, because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about what He's doing through you. It's all about the kingdom. It's all for His glory. It says in there that whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's why we wake up and breathe every day. It's for His glory. And that's why we do what we do. We go to work. It's not to earn money to buy things. It's to give glory to God. It's not so we can spend time with family and friends later. It's for the glory of God. Everything we do, it's for His glory. It's all about Him. So Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, let us see what is all about You in our hearts. Lord, right now, Lord, just bring something to the surface that we're willing and obedient to let go of this morning, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You put on our hearts something that we need to get rid of, something we need to cut off from our lives, that will just hold us back in futures we know. Well, we want to run our race. We want to finish our course. We want to run it strong. Lord, and anything that holds us back, like sexual immorality or drunkenness or any of those things, Lord, any of those little things, whether you want to cut out TV or Facebook or whatever it be that you have talked to the Lord about, whatever it is that's holding you back this morning, let's just give it to Him, eh? Lord, we just pray. Lord, we just give You and surrender to You, Lord. Surrender everything we have. If it's more than one thing, give it to Him. You want a fresh start? This is your chance. Want a new beginning? Now's your moment. To sacrifice for the greater of his kingdom in you. What are you willing to let go of? I've found in life that nothing that this world offers is more precious than his presence. On Thursday and Friday I had a moment with the Lord, and just all day I had no one with me, and I was working on these jobs I was actually just painting. And I just had worship music playing the whole time. And it was just so wonderful. And I didn't even say a word. I just kind of just basked in it. And it was just really nice to have his presence just fall on me all day. Because quite often I'm just preoccupied with what I'm doing and have other people around me, so it's a little bit difficult to spend time. And because the job I was doing was very, I guess, easy, it didn't require much thinking. It was just constant thoughts to him. And I just thanked him last night. Just thank you for the week he gave me, just the wonderful presence that he gave me. I've let go of a few things this year, and I just knew it was going to be even more greater. And just as time's gone on, I've just noticed his voice is clearer. Just everything just seems a little bit more directed, a little bit more purposeful. I just feel like open doors have happened this year just because of just his grace. Whatever you're willing to let go and sacrifice from this point, there's a grace on it. He'll acknowledge it. He'll help you through it.
My soul.
Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your peace over this week. We go ahead of you, Lord, and I just know that you've just already stepped in front of us. We've just go ahead of this week and just to proclaim goodness. We just proclaim self-control. We just proclaim kindness, gentleness, Lord. We just proclaim love. Lord, we just proclaim everything that you've just destined for us for this week. Lord, we just take it with both hands and we grasp it, Lord. And we say all for your glory. In your mighty name, amen.